Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Well, it's been an interesting few weeks for me. I've been to Seattle. I went for a minister's convention. And while I was there, a beloved friend and mentor of mine went home to be with the Lord. And so he was 90, lived out his life, but we'd just seen him a couple of days before. Like 2 days before. And he was praising the Lord Friday night at the convention and sang and shouted and everything else. And so he went out with a bang. And certainly it's good for him, but not so good for me. It's his gain. And we'll see him again in glory. So we thank God for that and got to participate and sing the choir in his memorial service and got to be there. And so that's where I've been. Amen. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the righteous. Amen. And when you know where you're going, it's good when you get there. Well, if you don't know where you're going, then you won't know when you get there. And you can get to the place. If you don't know where you're going, then any place will do. It's good to know where you're headed. I want to speak to you this morning. It won't take a real long time. I've got to preach a pastor's anniversary service immediately after this service. And they've been pastoring for 30 years. So we thank God to be able to participate in that as well. How many of you are happy this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all seem a little subdued. Colossians, the third chapter. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to talk a little bit about being kingdom-minded and setting our affections on the things of God. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. I'll read verses 1 through 11 as an extended context, but we will not most likely get through all of that. But for an extended context, we'll read through verses 1 through 11. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Colossians, the third chapter, Paul writes to the church of Colossae, and he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, where are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For these things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye are put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you that it is anointed. Thank you that you give me utterance in the Holy Ghost and you give them ears to hear. And we all receive everything you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. God is good. Praise the Lord. Now, Paul's writing to the church of Colossae, and let's dissect some of this. Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Now, that's King James. If you look in the NIV, the NLT, and I believe even the NASV, you'll find that it reads this way, since you've been risen with Christ. And those of us that have been born again, we have received a brand new life. Is that right? Amen. So since you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, what does it mean to be risen with Christ? Some people, when you mention being born again, the only thing that they think of is going to heaven when they die. That's what we think of. Well, you pray the sinner's prayer and there you go, right? Now, certainly that is the most important thing, knowing that your sins are forgiven, your sins no longer exist, and you have a brand new life, and that's wonderful. That's the most important. But there also is an inheritance that comes with the born-again experience. When you choose Christ, or I should say when he chooses you, you are born anew. You're twice born. You're born in the flesh, and then you're born in the spirit. But not only are you a forgiven sinner, your sins don't exist anymore. Actually, it's not even that you're just forgiven. Your sins are eradicated. Say amen. It's not like he just says, well, you're still a dirty, rotten sinner anyway, so we just treat you like you're not, even though you are, and, you know, we'll just, you know, treat you as if you're part of the family, even though you and I both know you're not. Don't look at me like that. Some Christians think that way. They really do believe that all that is just God kind of winks at their sin, and all it is, that their nature really hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is just they're forgiven and they're going on to heaven. But you know, there's really no change in them. I've got news for you. If there hasn't been a change produced in you by the Spirit of God, you are not born of God. Amen. Pastor will be back next week. Praise the Lord. If you are risen with Christ, so not only are you forgiven, not only are your sins gone, but he not only pardons you, he sets you in a place of authority. He sets you in a place of recognition. He actually adopts you into his family. As if, watch this now, as if you never were not a part of the family. God loved us so much. He esteemed us so much to the degree that he actually wanted us. He wanted you. Say it out loud. He wanted me. Some people, when they think about the human existence, they think that we are so depraved that Christ just decides to, again, just treat us nice even though he really hates us. And that's not true. That's not the reality of God. That is not how he relates to his born-again children. And the truth be told, the only reason that people are not reconciled to God is because they haven't taken that step of saying yes to him. But really, if you think about it, your reconciliation with God's already purchased. And when you're born again, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So you are seated in a place of authority. You've been risen with Christ. You are a citizen of heaven right now. Let that sink in for just a minute. You are actually, factually seated with Christ in the heavenly realm right now. Some people just think, well, we're going to go to heaven. Yes, your whole being eventually will experience the reality of heaven. However, the down payment has been made right now. I don't know about you. That makes me excited. Y'all kind of sitting here looking. Listen, you are a citizen right now. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm a citizen right now. Amen. You might be in America right now, and you might be an American citizen, but guess what? I'm a heavenly citizen before I'm anything else. Come on, somebody. My heavenly citizenship dictates my citizenship on the earth. Come on, somebody. So we're risen with him. I can't overemphasize that. We're risen with him. Yes, when you're born again, you cannot get to God. God got to you. He picked you up out of the ditch. Come on now. Everybody thinks they sought God. No, you didn't. He put it in your heart to seek him. He said, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained that you might bring forth fruit. So he didn't just ordain you to get saved, as we call it. He ordained you to bring forth fruit and to manifest his kingdom right now. Well, anyway, if you're risen with him, now, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Now, in the scriptures, I'll give it to you like this, particularly in the epistles where Paul writes. What you see is, if you read through Romans, if you read through Galatians, if you read through Ephesians, you're going to find out that there is what we call positional truth, then there's applicational truth. Positionally, you are seated with Christ. But you have to manifest that in actuality. Let me bring it home. You may have, and I say this all the time, some of you probably get tired of me saying it, but I'll keep saying it because it works. So you might have $1 million in the bank. Isn't it wonderful to have things in the bank? It's wonderful to have cash in there, you know? You may have $1 million in the bank, but guess what? If you don't take advantage of what's yours and you don't go to the bank and do this thing called making a withdrawal, it really doesn't matter that you've got that in the bank. Amen. But you had it. Well, what good's it going to do if you don't draw it out? See, the scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You're already blessed. A lot of people don't know that. They think they're waiting on God to bless them. God's waiting on you to receive it. He's waiting on you to take hold of what belongs to you. He's waiting on you, he's waiting on me to act like we're actually kingdom people. Because he's bought us with a price. We're not our own anymore. We're actually bought. Know what that means? It means we don't have any rights. The rights you have are the rights that come from Christ. But you're not your own anymore. Your life is hidden with him. So now you may have all these wonderful things. You may possess healing. You may possess victory. You may possess triumph. You may possess salvation. But if you never bring it into operation in your life, guess what? It's never going to benefit you. So Paul is saying, yeah, positionally, you have been raised with Christ by virtue of being born again. But then he said, since that's happened to you, seek those things which are above. Now we know he's not talking about seek those things that are up in the sky. No. It's those things that are higher than the realm of natural thinking or reasoning. We've been bought into a whole new system. We have been translated. Colossians chapter 1, I believe it's verses 12 and 13, somewhere in there. It said that we have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. What we have is we have two different kingdoms, y'all. We have the kingdom of God and we have the kingdom of darkness, or the kingdom of this world. Many times when you read through the epistle, it says the world. You know, John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You remember that scripture? Many times what people are thinking of is, okay, well, I shouldn't love being drunk, and I shouldn't love fornication, and I shouldn't love this, and I shouldn't. Those are just outward manifestations of that. You see, The world is actually a mindset. The Germans used to call it the Zeitgeist. Just like when Paul said in Romans 12, don't be conformed to this world, but be being transformed by the renewing of your mind, the changing of your mind. That's what he's talking about. Don't be conformed to the spirit of this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, that similar thought is carried here in Colossians. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. That's where Christ is. Christ is in the heavenly realm. Christ is in the spirit realm. Christ is on the right hand of God. And because that's where he is and he was raised, that's where you and I are, because we're one with him. Say, I'm one with him. And if you're one with him, then we ought to act like him. And we should seek those things that are of him. Anything that's not of Christ is to be eradicated from our life. We're not to live like the world. We're not to look like the world. We're not to talk like the world. We're not to have those things. Why? Not because we want to just spoil everything and people don't have any fun. It's because you and I are not to have their mindset. So many people, when they are born again, they try to do things to not be like the world, and so they try to change their dress, or they try to do those things, and that's fine. But really, if your mindset doesn't change and you don't take on a new paradigm of thinking, then your mindset's going to be worldly regardless of how you look on the outside. Are you with me?
Yes.
You see, so it's our thinking that must change. We've got to change our thinking regarding where we're at, because we're in a new kingdom now. The kingdom of darkness is ruled differently than the kingdom of God. An example. Kingdom of this world says, you know, Peter, I know you got this position in the church. You know, I know that you've been doing this for quite some time. But you know what? I want that position. And so I'm going to set this up to where I can just step over you. And I wing my way and I step over everybody else, person, to make it to the head of the line. Why? Because I'm looking out for myself. See, that's a worldly mindset. Are you with me?
Yes.
That's a world's way of thinking. That's how they think, because they look out for them. But then, you see, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. The world says, get all you can get. But God says, no. You give all. That's right. That's what the world says. So you can see worldly thinking even infiltrating the church sometimes. Well, I didn't like what Pastor did last week. And you know, Barb, I didn't like his message. You know, what did you think about what he said last week? And get a bunch of things started to protect me because I didn't like something. Well, guess what? Like I said, when you are in the kingdom, you don't have the same rights. I know a lot of people don't like that, but the scripture said, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, and you are not your own. You don't have the right to do anything you want to do. Because it said those things. If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, and not the things that are on the earth. We're supposed to operate from a whole new paradigm. Now, let's read on. Paul says again, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So he says it here in the beginning in the first verse, and it said, seek those things that are above. Look to those things that are of the heavenly realm. But then he says it again. You know, if he says something twice, it's probably pretty important, isn't it? Set your affection on things above. Set your heart, set your sights, set your affection on heavenly things. Because in the realm of God are where all the blessings of God are. In His realm are all the blessings you need. In His realm is all the health you need. In His realm, all the healing you need. In His realm, are you getting the picture?
Yes.
That's where you have your possessions. Don't lay up for yourselves, Matthew says, treasures on the earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Guess what? What the world has to get by their own means, they're eventually going to lose. Are you with me? So you and I are to have different priorities in the world. Nothing should ever take the place of you being in the house of God. I understand people go on vacation, that you know, I understand that. But I'm going to say this to you. And don't let me put you in bondage or anything, but listen. When I'm out, whether I'm preaching or if I'm staying with folks, I'm in church somewhere. Just look straight ahead, that's fine. I'm in church somewhere. Why? Because somebody's dragging me? No. It's because I don't have interests that keep me back from it. Amen. I tell my family sometimes, quit scheduling parties on Sunday. Because if you're not in church, you ought to be anyway. Well, amen. I know a lot of you don't like that. Listen, I'm just trying to help you come up higher. Because listen, I don't care what you say. You know, listen, you can tell me you love Jesus till the cows come home, but guess what? If your priorities do not reflect that, you don't. Well, anyway. But many times Christians have their priorities in the wrong place. That's why Paul is having to remind us, set your affection on things above. It's not like, okay, well, let's focus on those things that are above here on Sunday morning. So afterward, I can do something I really want to do, like go watch the ball game. Listen, I love the Seahawks, but the Seahawks are not going to take me to heaven. Go, Seahawks! But it's not going to take you to heaven. So, and I'm not saying anybody is, but in case there is anybody that is, quit being a moron missing church because of the Seahawks. Listen, you know what I'm saying is right, whether you want to say it or not. Amen. Like I said, Pastor will be back next week. But you know what? If he were watching this on the internet, he'd be laughing anyway. So praise the Lord. Now, set your affection on things above. You should have the desire to walk with Christ. That's where our hearts should be. Amen. Not on things on the earth. Quit looking to man for answers. Quit looking to man for answers. Listen, I want the election to turn out right, but I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to do any good for you to sit griping about what's going on in politics. They're of the world system. What you expect? Killing me, Smalls. Listen, they're of the world. They're not going to look like you. Some of you don't like me, but that's all right. I like me, and so does Jesus. Hallelujah. They're of the world system. Certainly, we need God's help in this. Absolutely, I don't deny that. We need to vote, we need to pray, we need to do our thing. We need to be on our knees and banging our head on the floor and all we can do. Now, but in the end, let me tell you something. Even when Pharaoh was ruling, guess what? The people of God were still there. And people need to realize that the church is what's going to control this thing. Well, praise God, that's another message. Verse 3, look at this. Look at the next statement Paul makes. Lord, have mercy. For you are dead, And your life is hidden with Christ in God. I want you to notice the first phrase, the first clause. For you are dead. Why do we set our affection on things above? Why? Because we're to be dead to the things of the earth. We are to be alive unto God. That's how we are on the inside of us, in our inward man. Those that just look to man, those that just look into their favorite politician, those that are just living according to the whatever they see, smell, hear, touch, or taste, whatever's going on in the physical world. Are you with me?
Yes.
Those people just walking in the flesh. That's carnal. It's natural. It's earthly. Now we do live in the earth, and we need to be engaged with, but I'm saying our affection shouldn't be there. Why? Because we're dead. Huh? Are you born again? Raise your hand if you're born again. You're dead. What are you dead to? You're dead to the things of this world. You're dead to the spirit of this age. And you're made alive to Christ, because it said that right here. But now, you were dead. Now, okay, how many of you remember when you were water baptized? Okay, what do? Why do we dunk you in the water? Because it's a picture of you being buried, and we dunk you under, and then get you back up. Because you go under, and then you go over. Let me tell you something. God has made you to go over. And the first step to doing that is you get born again. But guess what? You go down because you're buried. And then you come up and you're raised into newness of life. Amen. That's what that pictures. That's what that symbolizes.
Amen.
So quit coming up out of the watery grave and having that old man coming back up again. You're a dead man. You're a dead woman. You died and your life is hid with Christ in God. So, yeah, you died, but you also live. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Look at that later. It said that it's not you that live, but Christ that lives within you. And you live it by the faith of the Son of God who died for you and gave his life for you. You're bought with a price. Your life is hidden with him. You have a new life, and your life is in him, and his life is in you. It's oneness. I'll go back to what I said earlier in the message. You were not merely forgiven, but you were made one with God. Because your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, I'm closing with this, and you can go get the children. But verse 4 said this. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, I want you to notice this part about this fourth verse. In the King James, the words who is italicized, which means they weren't in the original manuscript. So I'm going to read it like this. When Christ, our life, shall appear. Mm-hmm. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, that's why we set our mind on things that are above, because we already are above. We're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. We're already there. I'm already there. Anyway. By virtue of the new birth, we've been born into a brand new place in him. So really, it's not so much that we're trying to do something. If you walk in the Spirit, just live naturally. Why? Because you're naturally spiritual, and you're spiritually natural. You're made to be that way. When you're believing, you're walking in the flesh, you're living like someone that you're not. But when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we also shall appear with him in glory. Because guess what? We're one with him, so we can't help it. Now we have the down payment. We have the down payment of being seated with Christ right now. We already are on the inside of us. And guess what? Eventually, we're going to be there physically with him. When you pass away, when you meet the Lord, you're going to take off your earth suit. And the real you is going to come forth. You see, you are not just body. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. It's not just your body. Your body is the temple in which you live, and you live forever. But when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we'll have a new body, but we'll also appear with him in glory. Why not practice now? You might as well practice now. So we need to set our affection on things that are above, on things that are higher. Not just things that are temporal, things that are just going to pass away. Guess what? I love the Seahawks, like I already said, but you know what? They're going to kick the bucket eventually. It's amazing to me. Can I say this? Well, I'm going to anyway. It's amazing to me how many people I see that walk around sometime and that visit with one another. I'm not trying to seem like, listen, we all enjoy just good conversation about whatever. We don't always have to be talking about the Bible or whatever. But, you know, it's funny how many people I see talking around that sit talking, believers, and they just talk about nothing. I mean, their whole conversation is about the weather. Really? That's all you got to talk about? My God, you got a boring life. Or all they talk about is sports. Really? I mean, I guess I'm blind, so I guess it doesn't do as much to me as others, but still. Those things are going to pass away. Why are you so carried away with that? Why are you so enthralled with something that is going to die? And again, there's a balance in everything. And I understand that, so don't come up to me after the service and say, I didn't like your message. But listen, let spiritual things be the primary thing of your life. I found this, that when I give priority to the things of the Spirit, when the Word is in me, when I'm sensitive to the Spirit of God, I enjoy even natural things much more. Because my life is not ran by natural things that are going to fade away. Because you're really hungry for the things of the Spirit. That's what you're hungry for. Let's not live our lives according to things that really, in the end, in the grand scheme of things, really don't matter at all. Listen, I need a new iPhone. I'm still with a 5C. Isn't that lame? That's so lame. I need to get another one. But you know what? On the other hand, in the end, it doesn't matter. My hope is not in my iPhone. Your hope is not in Facebook. Your hope is not in the television or anything else but Christ. Because Christ is our life. Yeah, but you know, Ryan, you just don't understand. I have a life. That's your problem. Thank you. If you're born again, Christ is your life. And how sad it would be when you get to heaven and find out, when you get to the judgment seat and rewards are being passed for believers, and you find out that basically you just lived a stupid life. I don't want to be that way. I want to hear well done. And guess what? He's not going to say well done to me unless I've done well. I even want to encourage those of us that are young, teenagers, young adults, listen, let's not waste our young years. Don't waste your young years. Live for God now. Be pliable now. Amen. Live for Him now. And quit wasting time with people that are not trying to help you come up higher. Some people you just don't need to fellowship much with. You can minister to them when the occasion, but some people you just don't need to have real close fellowship with. You need to guard your fellowship. Amen. Well, stand up, so I'll quit. Okay. You weren't supposed to agree with that, but that's all right. Praise God. I want to... Anybody know what time it is right now? Huh? 12:20? That's fine. Just real quick, I sense that the Lord has pricked some of you in your heart. And I know we had prayer this morning. But I want to lay hands on minister to anybody that you feel like, if we're honest with ourselves, the message is kind of hit home. Listen, I need to adjust a little bit. Sometimes all you need is just an adjustment. Sometimes just a little tweak. It's not so much that you can't have this or you can't have that or you can't do this or you can't do that. The writer of Hebrews said, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. So sometimes we can be involved in not necessarily sins, but they're just things that distract us from God's plan. You don't want to waste your time with that. You want to do everything you can to have your priorities right and to do what God wants you to do. I want to have them sing something, and I'm going to just start this way and go down this way. I just want to just pray over you and believe God that He'll stir up the gift of God within you and that you'll be more aware of what God's plan is for your life, if you would like that. We're not going to keep you long, but listen, I'm hungry too, just like you are.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.